mines underground where physically possible. The motion was backed by the opposition parties and some independent senators. And it does raise this issue about the fact that as well as being an eyesore, which they are, you can go to most other European countries or any advanced third world country in the world and travel for hundreds and hundreds of miles in rural areas and not see a pole at all. So Ronan Mullen believes it's now time that where physically possible, these electricity lines should all go underground. He joins me now. Ronan, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Good. You had some success in terms of support from opposition parties and independent senators. But other than that, is this going anywhere?
Well, we nearly won this vote last night, and it would have forced the government into a major rethink on the issue. My motion last night, this arises, as you know, as well out of the current controversies about these high voltage transmission lines being proposed by Airgrid across the country, including from Mygowna to Carrigan-Shannon, as you know, a 400 kilovolt line proposed there. This is causing major concern among people across the country, and there's a real sense that neither the government nor Airgrid have been genuinely listening. Consultation day is fair enough, but, you know, all very well having open days, but if you don't have an open mind and if you're not actively listening to people's concerns, it's not good enough. So that last night's motion, Tommy, would have called on the government to bring in legislation to regulate construction, siting and associated matters connected with high voltage electricity transmission lines in Ireland, and in particular to make provisions for placing such high voltage electricity transmission lines underground where physically possible. And that motion was defeated by 26 votes to 25. Predictably, the party whip was imposed, and the government just about voted it down. I was a little disappointed because some senators were missing. I mean, Sinn Féin have been actively opposing these, but they didn't have all of their people in the chamber last night. And some of the Labour senators who've been vocally opposing the pylons chose to abstain. But that, if you'll excuse the expression, there's no point half full in the cow. If they had come over and voted for the motion, we would have won it last night, and it would have forced the government into a major rethink on the issue, which had been a good thing. But where we're left at is with this, is that there's a lot of people across the country, not just in Mayo, obviously, but right across the country in the different areas in the northeast, in the south, and of course in the northwest, who are deeply concerned about this, and they're not going to go away. They're gathering increasing numbers across the community to make their feelings known, and hopefully they will band together in solidarity and prevent these pylons from going up.
So, anyway, you lost us. So the reality is that there's no forcing of a government now to introduce legislation. So we are where we were yesterday. And I know you're talking more specifically about these high voltage electricity lines as opposed to the normal electricity lines and telephone lines, even though that is a problem too. And if one was, I suppose, to be logical about it and legislation had been forced on the government to do something about it, they might have been able to lump it all together and put everything underground.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very difficult to turn the clock back in terms of what's already up. And that's, I think, why people are extremely concerned. But what's proposed is 4,000 kilometres across the country of pylons. And these pylons, Tommy, are about 45 metres high. I mean, that's just almost the size of Liberty Hall in Dublin, except the people of Dublin would never let such monstrosities across their city. I mean, the government's big argument is that it's cheaper to place these pylons overground than to put them underground. But the reality is, what they're not factoring in is the damage to the price of people's land, to the valuation of people's land, the long-term damage to tourism. I mean, anybody that's travelled in Europe, you mentioned that there's lots of places in the world where you won't see massive pylons, but I'm afraid in some countries you will see out in the countryside these massive pylons crossing the country, and I'm afraid it doesn't look like countryside anymore, you know. I think the government is trying to have it both ways in trying to say we can sell Ireland as clean and green and unspoiled and, you know, a rural paradise, as it were, and it is that in many ways, but it won't be if you have this kind of short-sighted approach being taken.
Yeah, but if Airgrid came out today, Ronan, and said, okay, we'll put all of these cables underground, would all of those against them go away and suddenly become quiet? Would there not then be another debate opened up about the safety of them underground?
Well, I don't think there's any claims being made that there's anything unsafe about placing these high voltage transmission lines underground. I mean, the government have been saying, I know, for example, to Mayo County councillors that, oh, well, we can't do it for kind of technical reasons, but they don't go on to explain what technical reasons they have. So you get the impression that people are trying to fudge the issue. I think that there is a belief in AirGrid and on the government side that it's simply too costly, but that is short-term thinking. They're not factoring in, as I said, the damage to the price of land. They're not factoring in the long-term tourist damage. And also, it's an attack on communities. It's an attack on the rural way of life. Now, I'm not saying that... Don't get me wrong, and I made this very clear in my Shannon speech last night, we are all in favour of updating the electricity grid. I want to see Ireland plugged into the electricity grid across Europe. I want to see a common energy policy across Europe so that we can access energy cheaper, and that'll improve our job situation, our competitiveness the situation. But that doesn't mean that we have to put up massive pylons when we have the option of placing them underground.
And will landowners be compensated by AirGrid?
What they're doing is there was talk, I was at the recent one of the recent meetings in protest against this, and there's talk, I think, of compensating individual landowners where the pylon is actually anchored. And there was talk, for example, about €20,000 and figures like that. But that is, I think, an attempt to play one rural dweller against the other, because there's no talk of compensation for people where, for example, a massive pylon goes up in the field next to them and the lines are running close over their house. I mean, what is proposed is to allow pylons within 50, you know, up to as close as 50 metres to a dwelling place. You know, so that's just not good enough. So there is talk of compensation, and there is an attempt, I think, by AirGrid to, as I say, play one side off against the other. But what the communities have been doing is they've been banding together, and they've been kind of building up solidarity with property owners along the proposed line. Essentially what they've done is they've about a kilometre wide of a footprint of snaking across the country for the paths, if you like, for these lines. But I think the communities are banding together and they're saying, no, we don't want them in our area. You mentioned, you know, the whole business as well. I mean, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, the government appointed
John O'Connor,
yes. the former head of Onboard Planola, to be the chair of AirGrid. Now, it needs to be said, nobody is saying anything against John O'Connor's probity or reputation or ability, but it does leave an uneasy sense in people's minds, and this is why, you know, the government really needed to think more about this. It leaves the uneasy sense in people's mind that what AirGrid's big challenge now is getting controversial planning proposals through, and that is a bad sign. And that, by the way, Pat Rabbit, the minister, said this is his, in the Shannon last night, that this is his first time effectively debating the issue since the issue began a number of years ago. So it does raise questions about the quality of the consultation between government and people. What we do know, of course, is that people now in government have been sending all sorts of signals to voters at election time saying that they would work to make sure that these lines went underground. But it's a different story now, it seems.
Now, I cannot confirm this, but we are getting calls from people who said that Pat Rabbit was on Morning Ireland this morning. Don't know if you heard him or not. Saying that Fianna Fáil had signed off on all of this legislation in 2008 and there was nothing he could do about it.
Well, that certainly wasn't his line last night in the Shannon.
And I have to say that these are I'm getting this secondhand from listeners.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly we weren't getting satisfactory answers from Pat Rabbit last night. And what we got was a kind of a congratulatory amendment from the government praising itself for delivering on energy policy priorities and all sorts of good stuff about the government and, you know, vague promises of cooperation with local authorities and support. A community gain approach, but there was nothing in his speech to give comfort to people about him having an open mind about placing these transmission lines underground. You know, he spent a lot of time, dissing claims about, you know, possible injury to health I've never made claims that I can't stand up. There is controversy in that area. My view is that if there's even the possibility of a danger to health arising from electromagnetic fields from overhead lines, then we have to be very, very cautious. But for me, the real issue is the quality of rural and community life. I think that's the issue that is beyond doubt endangered by these lines.
Okay, well, it was very narrowly defeated, as you say, and had it won, then it would have really, as you say, twisted the arm of the government to do something from a legislative point of view that could have had a really, if you pardon the pun, earth-shattering experience for them. But anyway...
But one thing is, I will be bringing forward legislation. The government may not have accepted this motion, but I will bring forward legislation that would require the placing of these lines underground where physically possible. I mean, currently on board, Planola has the power to require that lines be placed underground in situ. And they have done that, for example, in areas of special areas of conservation. Power is there from European legislation to require that, you know, sorry to be very technical now, but the lines over a certain power level, over 220 kilovolts, it requires an environmental impact assessment. So what I'm saying is we should expand that power that on board Planola has to require to making it mandatory that such lines go underground, unless it's physically impossible, like if you're dealing with bedrock or something.
Okay. You know? All right, Ronan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate the opportunity.
Slán. That's Senator Ronan Mullen there, who's...